There's so many important things in our Lord's parable there. But one of the great Hebrew scholars, Jewish scholar, analyzes. His name of his book is The Poetics of Biblical Narrative. And he analyzes these stories with such finesse and helps us understand, because the literary presentation of these stories is part of their revelation, part of the way they're trying to create for us a scene. I want to really talk about the parables and leave, because there's going to be a second part to this, of course, huh? But a certain number of things are important, I think. At the turn of the year, when kings march out to war, take it for granted. Now that it's spring, turn of the year, for these people, it's spring, they're going out to kill each other. The idea that there could be peace is a Christian notion. It was never there before. Wars are like volcanoes and storms and forest fires. They're always there. The idea that there could be a time when there was no war is a Christian idea. It's happened for a while. The most peaceful time in Europe was during the Cold War, when two large forces were afraid to start a war with the other one. But that meant that everybody else was at peace. It's the longest period of peace in Europe ever. It's just so ironic to see how deeply we're mixed up. The story is marvelous, though, huh? So David sent Joab out to war. Everybody goes to war. You've got to, you know, push back your borders a bit. You've got to make sure the other guy's not going to take your borders. So everybody goes out to war. So he sends Joab out to war. And the text says, you see, our translation says, remained. The text says, Yashav. He sat in Jerusalem. He's in trouble. If he's the head of his people, he should be out there at war. I'm not saying war is a good thing, but that's where he belongs. So he's already in trouble. And then you heard all about the trouble. And just think of it, you know. The abuse of power. Sees a woman attracted to her, bring her over. She gets pregnant, well, tries to get her husband to go down and sleep with her. So, well, the pregnancy is it's his, you see. He won't go. And we're left all the time with this. Is he dumb? Is he just so loyal to his king that he's going to, you know, sleep with the other officers down in the barracks because all his men are out in the field fighting and risking their lives, and he should not go home with his wife? Or does he suspect something and he's not going to be part of it? You don't know. Wish it is. So he tries to get him drunk, and even that doesn't work. So he says, oh, well, we just have to kill him. Now this is David, the Lord's beloved. And one of the great things about the Jewish people is they never cover over the sins of their heroes. Abraham lied. This is my sister. It's his wife. You know? David, you know, committed adultery and murder. The greatness of our people comes from the greatness of God's mercy. And that's the... So, I'd love to, but I want to talk about the parable. But it's so... And there's a beauty, I've just mentioned this before, then tomorrow, I imagine tomorrow, Joab will send a letter, you know, saying, you know, what happened was, no, isn't that a shame? I must write to these fellows. Part two of the story they skip. Well, they all know it. Oh, you've got to It's not enough to know a story. You have to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and get deeper in it. That's why we have these narratives. However, we will carry on where we are. The main point I wanted to make, our Lord is telling us the kingdom of God, you see, is like a man scattering seed. He goes to sleep, he rises up, the seed sprouts, and he doesn't even know how. You see, the kingdom of God is a power. It's the Holy Spirit. And it works. The saints often speak of the, St. Ignatius I'm thinking of right now, of Loyola, of those consolations that just come upon us. We're not prepared for them, we're not doing anything particularly holy, and the Lord comes and consoles us, shows himself to us. That's his love. He's trying to free us from the illusion that we're meriting all this. Just like this parable, see? It's the power of the seed, it's not anybody else. That's the kingdom of God. And we can rely on that. You know, the farmer doesn't run up every morning and say, is it up yet? Is it going to come up? You know, I mean, he knows. Why? Because that's the way it goes. The word is its word in the text here. Automati. Of itself. Wherever the word is. But yeah, of its own accord. The land yields fruit. Now why does our Lord do that to us? Just sort of console us. Speak to us. When, you know, we're six sheets to the wind. You know, we're driving around in the car. And all of a sudden he comes to visit us. It's to free us. Free us from preoccupation. Am I a sinner? Of course. Do I have to get rid of all my sin before the Lord will come to console me? No way. He can't wait that long. This is just a mystery of love in this parable. The Lord does this. Huh? Or it's like the smallest of all the seeds. But when it grows up, it's a real bush. Ever see a mustard bush? Go look for one sometime. I don't know if we got any around here. The climate's not very good for it. And it's an allusion to Ezekiel about the future of the people being a place of big, where the birds of the air can dwell. But the point is, the difference in the direction of these two texts is astonishing in a way, but it's the way the Lord, it's the way the reality is. So we have this exquisite, refined understanding of David's sin. Joab finally sends back a letter saying, we had a battle out at the gate, and Uriah and several others fell. David said, killed Uriah. Joab gets a whole bunch killed to kind of cover it up. Men's lives, their families, their children, all doing this for the king. And this corruption is going on. And so, I think I've told you this part before. So David writes back, you know, and says, well, don't take it too hard. These are the fortunes of war. Look at the lying going on. You know, now, the way he says, don't take it too hard is, let this not be ra ba'enecha. Let this not be evil in your eyes. Don't take it too hard. When the whole story is over, it says, and this was evil in God's eyes. Ra ba'enecha. So who's making the right judgment? God. David, on top of everything else. Well, then you know the rest, and that's what we have tomorrow. Nathan comes and confronts David with his sin, and he really repents. Why are we told this story? A, they will realize we're just as vicious. And B, we'll be encouraged to repent. We live by the mercy of God. That's why we're free. We can rely on His mercy. We can't presume on it, but we can rely on it. He's that good to us. And the gospel tells us, go ahead, work hard, preach hard, fast hard, do what you want hard. But the kingdom comes by the work of God.